for the fans, by the fans. This is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with our weekly look at the world of non-league football. This week, it's a reduced-length show for the Christmas break, but that one that celebrates, well, the magic of the non-league game. We talk with Kevin Darsh, joint manager of Barnstaple Town, who this week finally racked up their first league win of the season at their 20th attempt. They were at home and in the local Christmas derby too. He's a former player and he's also the vice chairman at the club. And he explains how tough it is for clubs like his in step four on the edge of the country and so often on the edge of survival. Yet, they may be bottom of the Southern League Division 1 South, but alongside his co-manager and ex-teammate Kevin Squire, the two Kevs are just part of a club rebuilding successfully for a long-term future. I also talked with Matt Badcock, editor-at-large of the non-league paper, about the packed football calendar this New Year bank holiday weekend, managerial changes and ground share implications, plus what we can expect to read in the New Year issue of this weekend's non-league paper. Much to come, sit back, relax and let's get matters underway. Now, it's been a long year for all of us, for a variety of circumstances. But what if the one thing that was keeping you focused wasn't going to plan either? The 3rd of January 2020 was a high for fans and all involved at Barnstaple Town until this week. This week, they notched up their first league win of the season. And I imagine my next guest is probably still smiling as a result. It's a warm welcome to the Non-League Football Show to joint manager at Barnstaple Town, Kevin Darsh. Welcome, Kevin.
Thanks very much. What? Yeah, it's we've got a smile on our face this week.
there's a million of reasons I wanted to get you on, Kevin. I've been obviously keeping an eye on clubs that you know haven't been able to get off the blocks yet. You already had a draw in the bag, but a Christmas League win at home in the local derby against Biddeford 2, a first win in 20 league games in the Southern League Division 1 South. That's got to be a pretty pleasing moment, even in your long history of being involved with the football club.
It's certainly a relief, I will say that, yeah. It's been a long time coming. It's been a bit of a struggle, I say. I've been there since the start of the season. One thing or another, it's been a long, hard struggle. So to get that first 3 points, you know, first win is massive, really. It's just a weight off everyone's shoulders. And the players deserve it. They've been great last, you know, since me and Kev took over 5-6 weeks ago, when it was that they've been great. You know, they've listened to what we've tried to say, that the performances have improved, but the result wasn't there, unfortunately. So to get that first win is just pleasing for the players, pleasing for the supporters. It were great on the day. We had a good turnout. I think there was over 600 there. So it was a good day. Yeah, it was a monkey off our back. So hopefully we can kick on from that. And another win might be around the corner with a bit of luck, because we obviously need as many points as we can get. We're right at the bottom. It's a reward for all the supporters, really, staying patient with us, because it's not been easy. Nobody enjoys losing every week. Nobody enjoys being bottom of the league. It's just a massive relief, as much as anything, to be honest.
Yeah. And I can hear that in your voice as well. And the season, it started off badly. You were leaking goals, but as you say, changes were made. And it's been, as you say, you just couldn't get the win. It's been almost like just one of those small margins that we talk about week in, week out on this show that hopefully now you've got that win, it's that little bit of extra confidence to go on and build the season.
That's it, yeah. It's important for the players, like you say, to have confidence is a massive thing. It gives you another 5-10% in your game. And we've been in positions over the last few weeks, you think, oh, it might be coming this week. And like you say, you can just see when we can see the goal or whatever, the confidence sort of ebbs away again. And so it's massive for the players. Confidence is a big thing. So, yeah, we've got to take that on, take all the positives out of it. And we've got another tough game Saturday, Parkway away, which, you know, there's no easy games in the league we're in. They're all tough, but the performances have been improving, which is pleasing. So, like I say, it's just reward for all the players, all the hard work they've put in. And for the fans, because they've been brilliant with us. You know, they've backed us all the way. You know, it's been tough for them. You know, they've been turning up each week, and we've had some, you know, especially in the early days, some real bad results. You know, 8-2, I think, one of them, and you know, 7-8. It's not easy for anybody to watch. So, but they've backed us, and they've been brilliant. So, yeah, we've hopefully given a little bit back to them. You know. Give them a bit of Christmas cheer as much as anything.
Yeah, but you're being humble there as well, because I mean, let's give people a bit of background. I understand you played over 300 times for the club. You've been assistant manager, and in February 2020, appointed as vice chair as well. You've also been a sole caretaker manager. You've previously been a joint manager. And in October, you were joined by one of your old teammates, Kevin Squire, in a new joint managerial partnership. But effectively, you've been one of a handful of people keeping the club going for a number of years.
Yeah, I've been there a long time. We've done a lot of good work, to be honest, over the last 12 months. There's people behind the scenes that have done a lot of good work. You know, we've now got an under-18 side, which we didn't have before, and that's been brilliant. You know, some of our under-18s have played in the first team. We had a nice little FA Youth Cup run, I should say. We played Salt Ash, we lost on penalties. I think we had a crowd of 140-odd there. It was a brilliant night. So, you know, again, we've got a reserve side that's near the top of their league. So they're doing great. So all the stuff's been put in place. The problem's been with the first team is it's difficult to get players. You know, where we are in the country, we do a lot of travelling. You know, we probably do the most travelling along with Biddeford in that league. And with COVID and, with the geography of where we are, players aren't that keen to travel. It's hard to get the players in, really. But, you know, we steady the ship. We've got a nice core group of players now that are listening to what we're telling. They're trying to get better each week, and we are getting better. And, I hope probably the future can be bright. It's not all doom and gloom, far from it, to be honest. So, I think things can turn around.
Yeah, and I think, you know, having been involved with my own club for, 24 years, it's that mark of success is often just driven by where you are in the table, and you've mentioned so many important things there off the field that are longevity to a club. You've been around for over a century, however many years, but you need those other strands to the football club to keep it going, because it is a community.
Yeah, I think it's massively important. That's the big thing as well. I say we're trying to make it a community football club. Like I say, I missed out the women's team. We've got a women's team there as well. You know, 4 or 5 years ago when I was a manager, it was literally just the first team. And it was a dangerous thing, because if we didn't fulfil a fixture or didn't get a team on the pitch, and there were times when we were very close to not doing that, you're talking about big fines and possibly pulling out of leagues. And, you know, yourself, if you pull out a league and there's no reserves to step up or no under-18s to step up, you're dropping 3 or 4 leagues and starting over again. So that was the start of it. And we sort of said, you know, we need an under-18 side. We need something to back us up. We need a reserve side. We need to get the community back involved. Because I think we became detached from the community. It was all... there was just a bit of bad feeling there for whatever reason. You know, people didn't take the chance with time. But I think we've turned that around, fairness. Like I say, we've had some good attendances just the under-18 games, even the women's games. You know, they get a good 50, 60 coming, watching every week, which is brilliant. You know, the reserves are doing well. So, you know, when they got a top of the table clash or whatever, you know, we'll get 100 people watching that. So it has a knock-on effect, because, you know, that helps your bar takings and all the stuff off the pitch. And you know, the more that people come down to the football club, the more they realise it's not a bad place. So I think we've turned that around a little bit. And now we've just got to, you know, settle down, work on the first team, try and get that stabilised, which we're doing, you know, week by week, which is brilliant. And I think we'll have a nice little club down there come the end, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think that's important as well when you're trying to embrace the community. When you say, it's great to have an emphasis on the core of local players that feel the club. They can wear any shirt they want every week, but if it's a club that actually means something to them, then you're going to get more out of them. However good they are, you can always get an extra 10% out of them because they're playing for the badge and playing for the club. You mentioned those big travels there. I mean, I live 100 miles away from my club. I actually live probably about 2 or 3 miles away from Lymington Town, which is probably one of your furthest journeys. Yeah. And as much as I'd love to come and meet you for a beer, Kevin, that's a long old way to go, Barnstable to Lymington.
3.5 hours, 4 hours. Yeah, people don't realise this. When players play away, it's a full day. You know, I mean, we can be leaving at 9 o'clock and getting home at 9 o'clock. You know, and that's, you know, some players have got young families and stuff, and there's a lot of pressure. You know, a lot of pressure on people to get back, and you know, might be some that day particular day they might not see their child. You know, time they've gone and got back, the child's gone to bed again. You know, so there's a lot of pressure on players like that, family pressures and stuff, and you know, football's changed all over the country in terms of people work more Saturdays now. Before, Saturday was a football day and that was it, you know, so everyone knew it was a football day. But now players work Saturdays, Saturday mornings, it's difficult to get time off, you know. There's lots of jobs going at the minute, so, you know, workplaces sort of put pressure on you, you know, you have to work sort of thing. So, yeah, it's difficult for every club. And when that changes, I don't know, to be honest. I'd like to think that it's going to turn around, but like I say, there's a lot of pressures on outside life, so football's taking a back seat, especially with COVID as well, for a lot of players. You know, some people haven't played for 2 years and thought, well, I'm not going to come back, especially if you're 30 years of age or, you know, they packed it in. So there's a shortage of players, I think, all over the country, to be honest. So it's been difficult, you know, for a lot of clubs. And I think it's still, between now and the end of the season, still might get worse again, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, we all see the Bury situation and things like that. There's a lot of teams that have folded. And we've been lucky at Barnes, in the sense that we've got a lot of good people behind the scenes that have worked really hard. And through the COVID, I think we had one of the best setups there. You know, everything was in place. We were brilliant. We went to some other clubs and I thought, ooh. You know, it weren't that great, but, you know, the people behind the scenes at our club are brilliant. They've worked the socks off, to be honest, and they deserve a bit of reward for the first team as well. You know, it's people just see the first team result. They don't see what's underneath that, and what's been put underneath it has been brilliant, to be honest. And a lot of people down there deserve a pat on the back for all the hard work they've put in. It goes unnoticed from outside, but inside, you know, I appreciate what they do, and Kev does as well. You know, they've given up a lot of time and worked their socks off, to be fair.
And that's nice to hear. And I guess you've got a fairly unique position in a way, because you're seeing the struggle from both sides of the white line, really, aren't you? Yeah, you're seeing from a managerial the hurdles of trying to put together a side that's got a long travel at step four. But I suppose off the field as well, keeping those volunteers on board, keeping those volunteers, you know, happy and but also safe as well in the current climate.
Yeah, like I say, we've got a good little band of volunteers down there. I say, I can't praise enough through COVID and stuff. The way it's been run down there has been fantastic. They all seem to be happy, to be honest. But, you know, they don't moan too much. They're brilliant at what they do. We've got a loyal group of guys that do the pitch. And, you know, our pitch is the best it's ever been down there, to be honest. You know, they do a fantastic job down there. There's people, you know, that's their life, some of these people. They're down there 5-6 days a week, you know, preparing the pitch. You know, everything's been put in place. I'd say with under-18s and the reserves, and that's generated more money because they do more games and obviously the bars open more and stuff. All the things that need to happen to have a successful football club, and that's all been put in place, which is fantastic, you know, because, you know, 5-6 years ago, it really was in danger of not putting the team on the pitch and possibly dropping a few leagues, and it was talked about because, you know, the club is in dire straits, but people down there have worked, you know, exceptionally hard to get it to where it is today. So, you know, they deserve a massive pat on the back, really.
Yeah, well, it is those people that make a football club. That's probably why we're all involved in non-league football rather than off trying to watch the games in the Championship or in the Premier League. Now, I mentioned that, you know, since mid-October, you've been in a new joint managerial partnership. Yeah. I saw it as a hashtag the two Kevs. I don't know if there's a documentary coming out on the back of it as well. But you guys played together. So I guess there's a mutual understanding of football and the way you want to play. But we're always intrigued as to how the joint managerial role works. You know, is there a good cop? Is there a bad cop? Or you know, is one the talker? One's the strategy man? I mean, how does it work with you guys?
Yeah, I've known Kev for a long time. We played together many years ago at Barnsville and at Ilfracombe for a bit. I've got massive respect for Kev because, you know, he's always been a winner on the pitch. Like I say, he was a good player. He scored a lot of goals for Barnsville. So, yeah, I'll get on fine with him. In terms of the change room, you know, Kev has the final say, which is fine with me. But we work together. We talk about things. We come to a decision one way or the other. I'm sure we'll have a few disagreements along the way. So far, we haven't had too many, to be honest. We both understand the task that's in front of us, which is massive. So basically, two heads is better than one, the way I look at it. To recruit players and go and look at games, look at players, whatever it might be. There's no real good cop, bad cop. I think we both see this football the same way, pretty much. When it's time to give someone a kick at the backside. We're quite capable of doing that. We're quite capable of patting people on the back as well. You know, we see it. I think it's important that we see the game the same way, and I think we do a lot of times. I'd say there'll be times when we have a little disagreement, but that's, you know, that's human nature, but that's going to happen. We both know that. We both understand that, and there won't be no problem with that.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, you've got the win under your belt now, but you mentioned a tough trip to Plymouth Parkway on New Year's Day. And you know, our listeners will know that they've had a great season, particularly in the FA Trophy this term. Your guys are obviously going to be on a high. Do you do anything different going into this game?
No, I don't think so. I think we prepare properly. We set out a game plan, which we do for every game, obviously. We know a bit about Plymouth Park, where we played them in, I think it's the Devon Bow early in the season. For me, they're the best side I've seen in this league. Obviously, the table doesn't reflect that because of where they are. I think Frome are top, but I thought they were the best footballing side, the way they move the ball. They've got some fantastic players. You know, they're capable of taking anybody's bits, and they've proven that in the trophy. They beat some big sides. So, you know, we go down there. We know we've got to work out. We've got to be organised. We've got to be mentally strong. We've got to be bit of luck as well. You need a bit of luck in every game you play. But in terms of preparation, no, we prepare every game the same. Like I said, we do our homework. We know what a lot of teams are about. We study them as much as we can. And we prepare the best we can. It's about what we do at the end of the day. If we play to our maximum, you know, we need to hope that Parkway have a bit of an off day. We've got a chance in any game. Anybody can be anybody in that league. So, yeah, we don't plan any different. We just do our homework. You know, formations might change for certain games, or, you know, personnel availability obviously affects formations as well. But no, I think we go there, we just be mentally focused. We do the best that we can do for us and see where that takes us, to be honest.
Yeah. And just to give people an idea that aren't sort of well-versed in Southwest England geography, this is your New Year's Day derby. Barnstaple to Plymouth. How long is that going to take in a coach?
Be a good hour and three quarters, I should imagine. I'd say that's one of the closer games. So for a derby, it's a fair distance, to be honest, yeah. So it's an hour and three quarters, possibly 2 hours, yeah, with traffic and stuff. So, yeah, it's still a long way.
And it shows the commitment guys like yourself put into to non-league week in, week out, Kevin. It's been great to get you on the Non-League Football Show. Thank you for your time, a busy old time over Christmas. And I wish you well for the rest of the season. I'll certainly be keeping an eye out on the results. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year to you.
So, rounding off this week's news, it's time once again to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers. Welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Editor-at-large at the Non-League Paper, Mr. Matt Bancott. Welcome back, Matt.
Thanks, Tim. Season's greetings and all that.
Season's greetings. Yeah, a season. Football seasons. We're having one of those at the moment. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll keep going. We might have had Christmas, but it has been a busy week in football. You know, games spread across the whole bank holiday weekend, and we've got the same ahead this weekend too.
Yeah, lots of games. The majority actually going ahead. Obviously, there's been some call offs, but the majority have been going ahead. We went ahead over the sort of Boxing Day weekend. It was really sort of a bumper few days, wasn't it? With National League playing on the Sunday, and then Step 3 and everybody else kind of playing. Set three and down playing Monday, and then some more National League games on Tuesday. It's been a busy one, and it doesn't stop this weekend, as you say, with games on Saturday and Sunday and Monday as well, I think. So lots to look forward to.
Yeah, and looking ahead to some of the games as well. Yeah, we always love the Christmas derbies. You know, not every league sort of schedules their fixtures as derbies. You know, you look in the National League, New Year's Day tie. Chesterfield against King's Lynn, top against bottom, near bottom.
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? I was sort of looking through some of the picking out the picture games of some of our Step 3 and 4 games on Saturday, and it's really difficult because there's so many good ties, and like you say, lots of derbies and lots of sort of, you know, first versus third and second versus fourth, and it's quite hard to sort of pick out some of the games across all the leagues. And just the one National League game on the Saturday, Chesterfield Kings Lynn, and as you say, Chesterfield going well at the moment. Had a draw with Halifax on Tuesday, 1-1 late goal from Jack Clark, so that sort of sees them top of the pile at the end of the year. But yeah, kick off with a chance. They also obviously fancy themselves at home to Kings Lynn with Tommy Widgington come in and kind of turn them around a little bit so far, hasn't he? So he's got a good result. And they didn't play the other day. Their game was actually postponed, but not for COVID, but because of a waterlogged pitch against Notts County. So always funny how these things turn up.
Yeah, I said bottom. Obviously, we've still got Dover Athletic, still bottom of the National League, and I don't want to be inundated with complaints from Dover Athletic fans, but I think still without a win on minus 8 points, yeah, it leaves them, 24 points adrift of safety at the turn of the year. I think they've got to be resigned to the fact that the Conference South football beckons next season.
Yeah, I think it's been... everyone knows sort of their issues that they ran into last year, and they made the decision to stop because of the finances, and that's kind of rolled over into this year, and how difficult it's kind of been for them. And I've spoken to Andy Hessenthaler many times over the years at various clubs he's been at, and know someone like him won't be giving up easily at all. Just sort of narrow defeat against Woking the other day before losing to Dagenham. After losing to Dagenham on Boxing Day, then at 3-2 down at Woking. So difficult times for Dover. But as I say, Andy Hessenthaler, he won't be throwing the towel in just yet.
No, and as you say, they came so close against Woking in the week. It's just those fine margins, isn't it? And when you are down there, then the confidence, I guess, is an issue. And it just seems that the gap now is growing so much that maybe the way that they're heading. And then you look across all the other step threes and step four tables. And there's lots of movement. Also in step two as well. There's from the early pace setters, some of those have dropped down the table, and so we've got some new people coming up and sort of challenging for promotion. We always say about Christmas being a turning point for club seasons, and certainly with the COVID cloud hanging over us. As you said, we lost some games to waterlogged pitches. There's a whole range of permutations ahead of us in the next 20-25 league games for all of these clubs to play.
Yeah, I think that's it. Like I say, when Christmas, when the games come thick and fast, we can stack a few wins together, then if it's a few defeats in the draw, it sort of changes everything markedly, doesn't it, before we go into the new year. But I think we're seeing so many sort of interesting competitive divisions across the whole country. It's sort of really sort of fascinating to see. I mean, you look at, for example, the National League South. I mean, Oxford City now on top, but level points in Maidstone, and Dartford have been sort of up there leading the way all season, only 2 points behind with a game in hand. And Dorking, get that remarkable 8-0 win against Havant on Boxing Day. They're suddenly up to fifth. I mean, Slough a few weeks ago not feeling good about things, and suddenly a few wins and some decent results, and they're 3 points outside the playoff places. So it just shows how sort of competitive that division is, and it's kind of the same as you say, right the way across the National League, starting to shape up into a really interesting promotion race as well. So plenty to look forward to. As you say, you've got the COVID kind of cloud just hanging there in the background, or not even in the background, but it's kind of hanging around and just hoping sort of can get through as many games as possible, really.
Yeah, With the table so competitive, there's obviously been a few managerial changes as well over the Christmas period. One notable one, Craig Wanderers and Danny Kedwell parted ways in the ESPN Premier. After Craig Wanderers have had so many great seasons in recent years, and then losing their management team at the turn of the season. Danny Kedwell, non-league legend, it was hoped that he might be able to reignite the spark there, but it just hasn't worked out.
Yeah, feel sorry for Keds. He's kind of, been around non-league a long old time and won the lot, really, and been part of some some great sort of, you know, well known winning sides, and obviously scored the penalty that sent Hersey Wimbledon into the Football League. I was speaking to him kind of in the summer, and he was sort of hoping to translate that, you know, what it's like to be in a winning dressing room and kind of bring that into his management career. And I spoke to him again a few weeks ago, and he said he was really enjoying it, and it was just sort of frustrating at the time. They were just not quite getting the results that them some of their performances maybe felt that they deserve, and it sort of turned into that story of kind of fine margins where things were sort of going the other way. I think they had some injuries, and it's quite hopeful that they'd kind of get there and start putting some results together. I mean, you know, they had a great one against Eversleet in the FA Trophy. They knocked Eversleet out of the FA Trophy, didn't they? On penalties, I think they were leading 2-0 at the time, and he's obviously involved quite heavily down at Eversleet with the academy, and he was saying how much he was enjoying learning from Dennis Kutrip, the Eversleet manager, and I'm sure he'll be back. You know, it's one of those things in management, isn't it? That when the results aren't quite coming, then often clubs look to make a change, and you know, they're in the sort of that relegation zone at the moment. But I'm sure he'll bounce back somewhere else and kind of take a lot forward from it.
And an example of that as well, pointed after we recorded last week's show, in time for their Christmas fixtures, Chester have gone for another big name in their former York City manager, Steve Watson, and plenty of knowledge of the National North Division there. But also he brings in alongside him, another non-league legend in Steve McNulty as his assistant.
Yeah, talking about winners, he's bringing in Steve McNulty, who's success at Luton, Fleetwood, and Tranmere kind of speaks for itself, doesn't it? He's he knows what it's like to be to part of a winning dressing room, and he's kind of been taking his steps on the sort of into that management. And he's been at Witton Albion last couple of years, and this is kind of another sort of step up for him, and being part of Watson's staff. Obviously, he played for at York, so. Yeah, Steve Watson's kind of gone in there, had a good result on Boxing Day, and then a draw the other day against Fylde, wasn't it? And they were 2-2, so they were, I think they were disappointed not to have won it, but they'll be pleased that they got that result on the back of being Telford. So they've sort of jumped up the table a few places, and probably again feeling a bit rosier there after a difficult. A difficult start. It's been a bit up and down, haven't they? So, but Steve Watson, his knowledge has been around the game. You know, top played at all levels of the game, didn't he? In top flight, and his management career is going really well at Gateshead, and didn't quite happen at York. But I'm sure he'll be looking to get his teeth into Chester, kind of a different kind of club to York, but still that kind of big name, a big fan base, and high expectations among the supporters of where they want to be. And I'm sure he'll be trying to get them up into those promotion spots.
Yeah, and showing how tight the all those divisions are, and National North in particular. You mentioned there his former city, York City. Yeah, Chester with those points over Christmas, just when it comes in, they're now three points behind York City and just 5 points off the playoffs. And it just so shows, as you said earlier, you know, you put a run of results together and the difference it can make.
Yeah, that's it. We talked about Southport a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? Where we said, you know, a difficult start and strung a long run of good results together, and another sixth in the league, in the playoff places. I think the hardest thing at the moment in the National League North is scoring past Brackley's miserly defenceman. He conceded 11 goals in 18 games. I think it's one of the best records in kind of the top six divisions in the country. I mean, yeah. It's going to be a fascinating title race that, with Gateshead only a couple of points behind Bradley with a couple of games in hand, and playing really good football. You know, watch some of their game against Charlton in the FA Cup, and you can really see how, you know, you've got some really talented players there. So, you know, we all can't take your eyes off it. In the coming months, it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, and one other story that caught my eye this week: news that Kingstonian are going to be leaving their ground share at Corinthian Casuals at the end of the season, taking up a new one with Tootenham Mitcham United. It's nice to know that they've got some security already in mind at the turn of the year, I guess. But having been involved with a club that sort of lived a nomadic existence for a number of years. It's a tough battle to run a successful football club on the field when you haven't got a home of your own off the field.
Yeah, I think home of your own is so important, isn't it? For clubs, and you see how many clubs it is difficult. And I know there's kind of they've sort of said in their statements that they're hopefully kind of been in talks with the authorities about a piece of land which is possibly available that they can kind of look to maybe move back into the borough, because obviously been sharing it. Corinthian Casuals, not all that far away, but you know, you want your own kind of home, your own base. You know, such a proud club, Kingstone. Everyone knows about their history, and they do need to. It sort of sounds like they're working really hard to kind of get back that way. But you do see how hard it is for clubs. I mean, Cambridge City, not far from me, they've kind of been, you know, had their ground kind of sold from underneath them, bouncing around. A little bit in Histon for the last couple of years, and they're in the process of building their own ground and hopefully moving into it this year. And it'll be massive for them, because it just gives you that base to build from. You can start growing again and getting really involved in the local community and kind of having that hub that people that can come to.
Yeah. We've mentioned earlier on that New Year's Day being on the Saturday. There's only just that single game in the National League, but I guess still plenty to be reported about in the non-league paper. What can we expect to read in this weekend's paper?
Yeah, well, as you say, there's lots of step three and four action, isn't there, on New Year's Day? So it will be an early night for I hope the rest of the non-league paper staff, we're getting an early night on New Year's Eve, I'm sure, ready for a busy day in the office on Saturday. So yeah, lots of step three and four games. Seeing all the action there, as I said earlier, lots of really big ties, big crunch clashes at the top. So plenty to get stuck into there. We've got, as you say, Sheffield versus Kings Lynn, Darlington and Spennymoor in the National League North. So lots and lots of live action, kind of reflecting back on the brilliant crowds that we've had over the festive period. I caught up with Hallam manager Craig Denton. They had 1,100 at their Step 6 game. North Ferry in the same league, Norman Counties East Division 1 had a similar crowd. So yeah, the crowds have been fantastic over the festive period. I was at Bury Town against Stowmarket on Monday with 1,300 there at Step 4, so for the Suffolk Derby. So some fantastic crowds reflecting on that. Colleague Dave Richardson's caught up with Mark White, Dorking manager, after their 8-0 win over Haven, and kind of how catching up with how they've been going. Wrap-ups of the festive fixtures and kind of the usual, as you'd expect, kind of look back over 2021 and a little look ahead to 2022 and kind of things to watch out for. So plenty in there, plenty going on. And getting ready for the FA Cup games the following Saturday. So lots to look forward to.
Another bumper bank holiday weekend. So you can even take your time reading the non-league paper this weekend. Matt Badcock, thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks, Tim. Happy New Year.
And that is it for this week, I'm afraid, as we round off 2021. What a year. Thank you to all of my guests, and thank you to everybody for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Myself there at Tim Fuel, FUELL. And you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, but also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. You can also find our back catalogue there, at least for the last four or so years. A happy new year to you all. Stay safe. Enjoy your football. Thank you and goodbye.
Jibber Jabber Production. JIBBA.